Gosh. Well, okay, y'all doing good? Still doing good? Worship was good. Wasn't worship good? Y'all give me a hand clap. They're doing a good job. They are doing awesome. Super excited for them. I like sitting right there because that young man, he is just singing in my face, all kind of gospel-y, getting all jumpy. I can never jump like him. He's all jumping around, and I just have, like, you know, the little, like, knee bob. That's all I can do. But worship was good. I'm glad. Y'all, welcome. Thank y'all for, I've been looking forward to third service ever since I woke up this morning. Not because my day's over when you guys go. But kind of. No, but because I think that this is the best service. And so I don't care where you guys sit. You guys can sit over there. But next week, Pastor Todd will tell you to move. I guess just letting you know that ahead of time. You can't sit there next week. So welcome to Church of the King. It's going to be a great day. And so Pastor Todd, he is obviously not here today. I am not Pastor Todd. Thank God for a lot of reasons. Number one is I don't want red hair ever. No offense to anyone that has red hair. I digress. I just want hair. I'll take any hair. God, red hair, blonde hair, just hair in Jesus' name. Just grow. On my head, be specific. I wanted to grow on my head. Lord Jesus, thank you. Amen. But he is not here. He is, hey, Pastor Josh. He's not here. He is with Pastor Christian Aranza. So Christian Aranza, he came a while back and he preached here. He got to teach here. If you remember him, he had the very, there he is right there. He had the very, very, very skinny jeans on. I think they were jeggings. He had a long t-shirt that was down to maybe his knees and cut down to here. And then I think women's shoes. But I don't know what it was. But he did an awesome job. Well, he's starting a church. He's opening a church. And we are super excited to be supporting him. The one thing that Pastor Todd does amazingly is he believes the best in other people. And we plant churches. And we believe the best in other churches. It's not just about the kingdom of God at Church of the King. It's about the kingdom of God in general out there. And so he's on the board there. He's in relationship with them. And so he's over there for their grand opening right there. So Valley Rise Church, we're praying for you guys. And it's absolutely amazing. Let's pray for today's service and we'll get started. Father God, thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for the word of God being preached all over this city, all over this state, and all over this country, Father God, in pulpits everywhere. Lord, I ask that the spirit of God and the word of God is preached and proclaimed and lives are changed everywhere. Right here, Father God, I ask that you just use me today, that you work through me, that the Holy Spirit speaks, so that Tom doesn't speak. And Lord, they don't want to hear what I have to say. They want to hear what you have to say. Lord, I thank you for everything that you're doing at Church of the King. And most of all, Lord, I thank you that New England will win the Super Bowl next weekend. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And just so you know, New England will win the Super Bowl. It's going to happen. We have not cheated yet. But if we start losing the Super Bowl, we'll cheat. Yeah, don't put it past us. We'll cheat something out. And so we've been doing Born for This series. And so Pastor Todd, this is week three. Pastor Todd, he started with Born to Know God. And when we're born to know God, it means that you are created to know who God is. That you're not created just to be disconnected, floating around the world, but that you're created to know who God is. And number two, that he said last week, it was an amazing week, he said that you were born to grow. Not only are you born to know who God is, but you're born to grow in who God is and you. It's about reading the word. It's about studying. It's about being the example. It's about growing spiritually. It's not just about being saved, but it's about living a life for God. And it was an amazing week last week. If you weren't here, go back and listen to it online. Do what you need to do. And this week, we are going to learn about being born for generosity. Everyone say generosity. Generosity. I know that you're thinking that this is all about money. And you're a little bit right. It's a little bit about money, but don't worry. Look, people are already leaving. Oh, praise God, it's generosity. People talk about money in church. I know it's a hard subject. Here's the thing. I'm not going to continue to talk about money because generosity is so much more than money. So much more than money. And we're going to learn about the true spirit of generosity. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to 2 Corinthians 9:6. If you have your Bibles, you can turn them on, open them up. You can look on the app. We have notes. Get your notes ready. The word of God is going to be proclaimed. And let me tell you this, the word of God, I love America because the word of God is able to be reached and read by you. There's no reason that you don't have a Bible because they're free. You can get them anywhere. You can go to hotels and get them. The word of God is not held from you. Is that stealing? It's a very gray area. Your own integrity. You all do whatever you want. The pastor's not, I'm not telling you to steal, but if you need one, just take it. Thank you, sir. I'm a good influence. No, don't take it. If it's stealing, don't take it. But if it's not stealing to you, take it. If the word of God is able to be reached by you, there's countries that aren't able to even proclaim the word of God, let alone read the word of God. And we live in a country where the word of God is readily available. And so when we read the word of God, we don't believe that it's just a collection of good sayings. We believe that it's 66 books written by the hand of man, but inspired by the Spirit of God. And that word of God is from God to you today. And that the word of God is to change your life, that it's living, and that it's the only thing that will break the bondage that you have is the word of God for you. And so when we read the word, I want to make sure that you know that you're part of it. That you know that you're part of it. A lot of times we read the Bible like it's for somebody else. A lot of times we read the Bible like it's for them or for sinners or for really spiritual people. But you have to know the word of God is for you. And so let's read what God has to say about you today. It says, remember this in 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will also supply increase to your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in the thanksgiving to God. Amen? Man, the Bible is so good. But now that you know that the Bible's for you, and now that you know that you have a part in this Bible, you have to put yourself into the story because you matter in this story. This isn't a story or a lot of good things for somebody else. It's about you. And the first thing you write in your notes is this. Number one, I am the sower. I am the sower. In this story, you are the sower. When it comes to generosity, when it comes to the things that you're to do, you are the sower. I am the sower. And as a sower, now, any farmers in here today? You got any farmers? Not a one farm. Yep. Caleb Bigwood, you're 9 years old. You're like an ant farmer. No farmers? Anyone want to be a farmer? No one even wants to be a farmer? And this is why we're dying. America, this is why we're dying. Ain't no one wants to be a farmer. Ain't no one gonna be, huh? You used to be a farmer? Good job. Thank you, sir, for what you do. Everyone else, shame, shame, shame. But a sower, what happens is when we identify as a sower, and none of us are farmers, including myself, is we disconnect from the story because we're like, oh, this is a good story, but what does it mean to be a sower? A sower has the responsibilities. A sower has to do something. And this is what a sower has to do. Number one is a sower has to obtain seed. Your job as a sower is to go and get seed. To go and get seed. Your second job as a sower is this. You got to prepare the field. You got to prepare the field to put the seed in. And your third job is this as a sower. You got to plant that seed in a field. Yeah, plant that seed in the field. Your job in life, where generosity is concerned, is when we're called to be givers. We're called to be sowers. That's what we do. Your job is to find the seed. Your job is to plant, to get the field ready, and then plant that seed in that field. But here's the thing, is the seed is pretty easy to find. Because number two, it says this, that God supplies that seed. It says in the verse that now he who supplies the seed, God supplies that seed. The very thing that you are to sow in life, God supplies for you. And we could talk about physical things because in 2 Peter, it says this. Now, his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and to godliness. To life and to godliness, meaning that there is a physical thing, there's a life side of it, and there's a spiritual side of it. There's a godly side of it. And God has given every one of us some physical things. He's given us money. He's given us time. He's given us work. Some of the physical seeds that God has given you, money, time, and work. And all three of these physical seeds are used to obtain physical things. Houses and cars, food. All the physical seeds are used to obtain physical things. But those seeds are given to you by God. He who supplies the seed. But on the other side of this is spiritual seed. Here are some of the spiritual seeds that God has given you. The gospel is a spiritual seed that God has given you. I know that's a practical thing and that you can read it and you can see it and it's tangible, but it's living and it's the word of God. It's the very thing that draws people into salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a spiritual seed that he's given to you, the sower, that we are to plant. Another one, fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. Fruits of the Spirit. He's given to you as seed, the sower, so that we can plant. Another spiritual seed that he gives us is forgiveness. And he's given you forgiveness. Forgiveness is great because forgiveness, there's no one else in the world except Christians who accept Jesus Christ that can walk into forgiveness from God. And he's given you that seed, the sower, so that we can plant it. But you see, in week one, we learned that we are three parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. And between the physical body and the spiritual spirit, there's something. It's our soul. And the very thing that God has given us spiritually, that we're supposed to be putting out physically, gets caught up mentally. Our mind is the battlefield of the seed. Our mind is thinking, oh man, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should do this. You see, God has given us this seed, this spiritual seed, and we as Christians have received this spiritual seed and we hold it in our hands and we know that our job is the sower because it says so in the Bible and we believe the Bible to be true. And what we do is we walk around and because we are so holy and pious and sometimes self-righteous, we want to find the best soil for this seed. We walk around and we judge different soil. That soil is too dirty. That soil is too smelly. That soil is too dry. That one's too wet. That's not good enough. We judge all the soils around us because we have this holy seed, this righteous seed that we want to make sure gets in the right place. But here's the issue. Is the soil for my seed? It's people. People are the soil for my seed. The very seed that God has given you, the spiritual or the physical seed that God has given you, that you are to sow in other people. And when we walk around judging the soil, we judge the soil because it's all these different things. We're really judging people. Oh, I don't want to give them $20. I'll give them $20. You know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to go down to the department store. They're going to do this. They're going to buy this. And I know what they're going to do. I'm not giving them $20. It's not worth my seed. Oh, I'm not going to forgive this person for what they did because they are such, and they list all the offenses they have in their life for the reason why they're not going to give their seed. We judge soil and we hold on to seed, but we're the sower. And we forget that first that God was a sower and that God sowed a seed. It says in the Bible that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he gave it to the world. And the world was broken. And the world was nasty. And the world was messy. And the world was dirty. And the world didn't look like the perfect place. But he knew that when he planted his seed in that soil, that what happened would be the salvation of anyone that came to Christ Jesus. We don't know. We don't know what God will do with our seed when put in the right soil. We can't judge soil for soil, because soil's meant to look and smell and be just a little bit dirty. But that's exactly where seeds go. The second thing that we are, point four, so I'm the sower, God supplies the seed, the soil for my seed is people, is number four, you have a second part. It says this, it says, whoever sows will also what? Reap. So do you have a second job now? Your job is now the reaper. You're the sower, and now you're the reaper. And the reaper has different jobs too. The harvester has different jobs too. His job is this. His job is to harvest the results. Anything that grows up and produces fruit, his job is to go out and get it. And with that harvest that he brings in, his second job is to provide for the present. Provide for the present. Man, you got food to put on the table. You got a family to feed. Man, you got bills to pay. There's a food for the present. But he's also, his third job is this. He has to invest in the future. Man, if that farmer wants to have a next year, man, he's got to take some of that stuff and he's got to bring it to market. He got to invest it. He has to sell it at market. He has to put some seed in the silo. He has to put some stuff in the storehouse. He has to think about the future if he's ever gonna get to a next season. And as a reaper, what happens is when we sow the seed and it grows in people's lives, now the harvest time is the hardest time of our lives because it's work. Harvest is work. Everyone's like, I can't wait for the harvest. This is the harvest. Well, you gotta work in the harvest. That's when you go into the field. That's when you pick the food. That's when you put it up. Harvest is work. We know what our job is. And we are sower and we're a reaper. God is not in charge of sowing. Sowing, that's our obedience. That's our duty. That's what we're called to do, made to do, is to sow. God is not in charge of the reaping. I mean, that's a reward for diligence. So where is God in all of this? Number five, here's where God is. The miracle of God is already designed in the seed. The miracle of God is already designed in that seed. God's not in charge of the sowing. He's not in charge of the reaping. That's your job and your responsibility. He supplies the seed and the miracle is in the seed. If I take a seed, give me a pack of seeds, please, Tanya. Ma'am, please. Thank you. Make this pack again. Here's some seeds. These seeds will produce what? Strawberries. These seeds, when put into the ground, they will grow. This water bottle, if I was to put that in the ground, bury it. Number one, that's littering. And it's a fine. It's like $50. It's not big. Steal and litter. That's what I'm teaching. Steal and litter. This one's not making the podcast. If I was to bury this in the ground, nothing would happen because there's no life inside of that water bottle. Life exists inside the seed because God gave you the seed and God is in the seed. The miracle is in the seed. It's not, the miracle is not in the sowing and the miracle is not in the reaping. The miracle is inside the seed. You just have to place the seed in the ground and God will do the rest. And that thing will grow because it's designed to, it's created to, it's made to grow. But the thing is, it takes time for things to grow, and oftentimes it grows first without you seeing it. Have you ever put something in the ground and you put a seed in the ground and you planted it, you watered it, you did whatever, and never nothing grew up, and so you dug it up again, and all of a sudden you see the seed and it started to grow a little bit, and you're like, oh no, too soon, you put it back down? Because we are impatient people, and we think because we don't see the miracle now, that's not happening. But the miracle is in the seed. It starts growing without anything from you at all outside of obedience to plant it. We do not have to make sure that that seed grows and watch it and clap it on and come on, see, let's go. Grow. By the way, that's me dancing. That's why I'm not on stage. And you too, Pastor Chris. Because God's miracle is already designed in this. Whether that seed be money, whether that seed be time, whether that seed be work, whether that seed be something spiritual like forgiveness or the gospel or the fruits of the Spirit, when you take that seed and you put it in the soil of other people's lives, that's where it grows. That's where it grows. If I take these seeds, which have the ability to grow, which have the ability, God's created them to grow, but I keep them and walk around with them and never do anything with them, I'm never going to reap the benefits of what that seed is intended for. And that seed identifies. Here's the thing, is when I drive by a piece of dirt and I don't know what's grown in it, this is a plot of dirt. It's nothing to me. But as soon as seeds start popping up and I know what they are, ooh, that's a cornfield. That's a cotton field. That's a soybean field. That's a rice field. Seeds bring identity to people. The seeds that you plant bring identity to people. When you start sowing the seeds of God in people's lives, their identity changes from just being worthless pieces of dirt into being what God has called them to be, what God's made them to be, what God has created them to be. The seed grows up inside of them, and all of a sudden they're forgiven, and all of a sudden they're loved, and all of a sudden they're patient, and all of a sudden they have self-control, and all of a sudden they have financial peace, and all of a sudden they have wisdom. All the seeds that you plant in people identify people. No longer walking around just worthless and useless. But until you plant the seeds in people's lives, they won't know the goodness and greatness of God. When you're the only God that people know, and you withhold the seed from them, man, and they think God's that way. Oh, God don't want me to succeed. God doesn't want me to be happy. God, because we as Christians hold the seed back. When I am obedient, when I obediently sow the seed that God has given to me, I will reap an abundant reward. When I obediently sow the seed that God has given to me, I will reap an abundant reward. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow generously, reap generously. Here's the thing though, as I'm wrapping up. Man. What happens if the harvest isn't for you? What happens if God has given you the seed, but you never see it grow? It's for somebody else. It says in the Bible, Jesus says in the book of Luke, he says this, he says, love your enemies, and we all know that part. He goes on to say this. He says, give and do not expect in return anything. Give and don't expect anything in return. As Americans, automatically, we're offended. Oh, goodness. What happens if God wants you, needs you, he's given you a seed that's not for you to harvest, that's not for you to see, that's not for you, but for someone else? You see, we have a lot of reasons why we keep our seed on the shelves. A lot of us are critical. A lot of us can be skeptical. A lot of us can be judgmental, and a lot of us can be hurt. I'm not talking about the physical things. Look, there is time, there's money, and there's work. And look, you know God has placed those things in your life. He's created you, and he demands that you use those for his glory. That's on you. But I'm talking about the spiritual things. We withhold the spiritual seeds of God in our lives from other people because we sit on this throne just as we would think we were God ourselves. I'm not forgiving so-and-so. Do you know what they've done to me? Do you know how they've looked at me and what they've said behind my back? Do you know what they have literally hurt me with? Why would I forgive them? I'm not gonna love so-and-so. That's ridiculous. I hear that every kind of person just like them are the worst kind of people to be around. Why would I share the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people? Those people, they already have a God that they worship. They already worship a God and they're against us. Why would I share that gospel with people? There's a lot of reasons why the spiritual seed that God has given us sits inside the shelf of our heart. But we are called to be the sowers of those seeds. And the people around you are the fields that those seeds belong in. And as long as you are holding those seeds inside of you, you will live a life that is miserable. You will live a life that is just, you feel pointless. You feel purpose, like just, nah, there's nothing for me to do, just frustrated with everything. You just can't seem to get it to work. Because you're called to two things, to sow and to reap, and you have yet to sow, and you're mad at God for not giving you the harvest yet. Well, God, where's my harvest? You said you're a good God, and you give me all these things. You haven't sown those seeds. You're hanging on to them. I'm telling you, when you start giving generously, the spiritual things, the physical things will come. But when you start giving forgiveness out, patience out, self-control out, when you start giving out these gifts, the life you've always wanted will happen. The freedom that you wanted, the sleep that you needed, the money that you needed, the job that you needed, the family that you needed, the husband that you needed, the life that you needed. And in the end, because you sow, you're a sower and you sow those seeds and you're a reaper and you reap that harvest, all the glory, because your seeds planted in other people, all the glory goes to God and nothing to you. People look at the people's lives and say, man, there's something different about that person. They're living an amazing life. Look at that field of joy. Look at that field of grace. Look at that field of forgiveness. Look at that field. It's amazing. To God be the glory. There's a time for everything. But the time today is to plant those seeds, to stop hanging on to this stuff. God has gifted you, Christians, men and women of God, children of the Most High. He's gifted you with seeds. He's given them to you. Not because of any other reason than he's created you to sow them. With every eye closed and every head bowed and not a person looking around, not even a kid looking around. And if you're looking around, I'll ask you to leave. Here's the thing. There's people out there today. You say, Pastor Tom, man, my life has been miserable and it's because I'm hanging on to these seeds, these spiritual seeds that God has given me. And I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else, but you're going to have to identify in your life that this person's you. That the forgiveness that needs to be given needs to be given from you. That the seeds that need to come out by you because you're the sower. But you've been hanging on to them. And it's been super hard, it's been difficult, and you've been very frustrated. And life isn't really making any sense. It's because you're hanging on to the gift that God has for you instead of for other people. You find yourself to be judgmental and critical. You find yourself to be skeptical of everything. It's because you're holding on to something that's not yours. It's for somebody else. And so today, you get to make the choice. It says in the Bible, where two or more are gathered, there he is also. I believe that two or more are here today and that God is here. Whether you feel him or not, the presence of God is here. You have to make the choice though. I can't say a magic prayer. It has to be a choice, it has to be a heart in you to start to be the giver. Start to be the giver and to do so to sow generously, to give generously the things that God has given to you. So if that's you, I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to stand up. I just need you to identify in your heart because I'm about to pray. Father God, I just thank you for the people that in their heart, Father God, they're saying, God, that's me. I've been stopped up with all these things. Lord, I ask that right now that by the power of the Holy Spirit that you move in people's lives, that you change people's lives. Lord, that you identify them as a sower. That we don't walk around judging fields. But Lord, that every person's a fresh field ready for the seed that you've given to us, and we give to that field generously. Lord, I ask that right now, that your love and your kindness, your mercy and your joy flow over every one of those people. Lord, that you start breaking some stuff off in their lives so that they can faithfully sow the seeds that you've given to them. And other people. Amen. Man, every eye still closed, every head still bowed. If you're here, you know what? You haven't had the opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Here's the thing. All this matters only if you're saved. And I know this is a tough statement to say, and you might not even know what saved means, but I'll tell you this. It means that you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. That God created a son to make, he has a son that he gave for you. Died on a cross for you so that you can be forgiven and in relationship with God. If you've never had the opportunity, the word of God pertains to believers. And I want you and I need you to understand that God needs you in his army, on his side, in his body. But the only way you get there is if you're saved. It's not about heaven, but heaven is promised to those. It's not about the easy life, but I guarantee you it's an abundant life. But if you're here and you haven't done it, but today you want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, I want you to raise your hand right now. Good. I see you. Good to see you. Put your hands down. I want you to repeat after me, everybody in the church. Father God, I love you. Thank you for sending your son to die for my sins. I accept him as Lord and Savior. I die to me and I raise from the dead in Jesus Christ. I surrender my life to your purpose and for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all give me a hand clap. There's two people that have raised their hand. It's absolutely amazing. Bigger than that. Y'all can clap out louder than that. Y'all can do. Look, if heaven's gonna be louder than that, you can be louder. There you go.